Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Hashtag Event Icons. I'm your host, Sarah Crystal from Endless Events, and we have an awesome episode for everyone today. We have Alan Kleinfeld on the call with us, who we've just been having so many great conversations already about safety and events and the future and COVID, and it really runs the gamut and is such an important topic for everyone. So we're very excited about today's episode, but just some housekeeping things up top. For everyone who's viewing on social media, feel free to ask your questions. They will go directly to Alan and myself so we can answer any questions that you guys have about COVID compliance, about safety, about the future of these things within events. So ask your questions. Also, if you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you are subscribed at event-icons.com so that you don't have to miss any one of these episodes. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Alan Kleinfeld to the stage. Alan, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, it's time for another episode of Hashtag Event Icons, presented by Endless Events, the show where you get to ask the icons of the events industry anything. Just follow us on social media to ask questions. Our iconic guests will answer them live during the entire show. Before we get started, the more people we have watching, the better the conversation. So please help share Hashtag Event Icons on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just tell your friends to watch live on any of our social media channels. Now, without any further delay, this is Hashtag Event Icons.
Hey, Sarah, it's great to be here. Thanks for asking me to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm so excited. This has actually been such a long time coming. We've been trying to find someone who is a COVID compliance officer to come and speak to our on event icons. And it's been such a challenge. I feel like they're all so busy probably. But when I was put into contact with you, I just instantly from our first conversation, I was like, yep, this is our guy. He knows exactly. He lives safety. So I'm very excited to talk to you today. And yeah, my first question is just, how you got into where you're at today, the event space, the safety space. I'd love for you to speak about, how you got here.
My pleasure. It's funny that you mentioned COVID compliance officer, just as an aside, because one of the things I've been asked to do is actually the COVID compliance officer started as a thing for movie and television sets, believe it or not. And so I've actually been asked to become, to actually serve on a set to be a COVID compliance officer. And it's kind of cool because it's part of our industry in a way that it is kind of an event, but it's totally separate as a little Hollywood thing. So it's just kind of fun.
Totally. That's actually our consultant for COVID compliance came exactly from the entertainment industry in LA. So it seems like there's some crossover there.
There is. But I got, I've been doing meeting planning forever. It was one of those things where I just kind of fell into it a long time ago in the 90s. I'll just say the 90s. I won't say what time in the 90s. And it was with a state college and I just helped them put together these events where students and professors could meet and talk about courses they were going to be offering. And it was kind of a sales pitch for the professors to get their offerings out there. That led to just different meeting planning stuff. And I did meeting planning full time until that day 20 years ago, September 11th, 2001, which is just coming up on us here. And we lived in DC and our apartment overlooked the Pentagon, and at night we could see it kind of just glow and smolder in the dark. And my reaction to that was to sign up as a reserve police officer, which I did not even know was something that that existed. So I signed up as a reserve police officer, and I've been doing something in law enforcement ever since. And probably a decade ago, I started combining the two. So I was doing event planning, and it was like, oh, hey, well, we're doing this. We should probably make a note of, the fire exits in our meeting space. And, oh, well, we're doing this. Maybe when we look at food and beverage, we should make sure the kitchen is clean and that the food allergies are considered. And it just kind of combined because I liked them both. And and now these days, safety has become a real, it's just an issue for a whole bunch of reasons we didn't have maybe 10 or 20 years ago. Safety's become a thing that meeting planners or people who plan events, now events, especially in person, now have to deal with, even though it kind of stretches out along the whole spectrum.
Right. Oh, that's such a great journey. And just knowing, yeah, where you came from and your call to action. And I feel like your why and your purpose is so also very inspiring that you're like, yeah, I just want to come in here and help and see, you know, this, the safety is definitely so much of a bigger thing that definitely gets tucked aside. We'll talk about that a little bit later and go in depth in our about how we were just talking about earlier. But I do want to just start off, dive right into our topic, these COVID compliance, COVID safety myths. We talked really in depth in our first call of, you know, deconstructing some of those things and what that means. So yeah, if you can just kind of get into some of those things you're hearing where you're like, wait, this is so wrong. And I just want to set the record straight.
Yeah. So I'll put it out there. You know, I am not Anthony Fauci. I don't work for the CDC. even though I have three medical doctors in the family, I myself am not a medical doctor. But I'm a pretty logical guy, pretty common sense kind of guy. And it's one of those things where we've just known for a really long time, well before COVID, how to prevent certain things from certain diseases and illnesses from spreading. And it's one of those things as a country, we just didn't come together and do it fast enough. So we now have this thing now where people think COVID's going to come and COVID's going to go, and eventually it'll just disappear. And it's not really going to go anywhere if we don't do a couple of big things. And one of the big things is get vaccinated, wear a mask when you're in public or public spaces. And then the other thing is the other thing that we all need to do is just kind of remember that we're in this together, and that if we don't do those steps, if we don't cover our mouth or get a vaccination, this thing's not going to go anywhere. Not only that, but viruses, as part of being a virus, they mutate and they change. And I don't know if you've heard about it, but now we have the Delta variant, right? Not long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, they've discovered the Delta Plus variant, which sounds kind of funny because Delta Plus sounds like a good thing. Hey, Delta Plus.
You know? It sounds like an upgraded seat on an airline.
Exactly. And then now they have the MU variant.
Oh, interesting.
So it's just going to keep changing. So, and as long as it does that and we're not wearing our masks or getting vaccinated, we're going to always be susceptible to it. So it's one of those things where, like, just for example, one of the things that we've seen in 2020 and 2021 was a decrease in colds and flus. And that's because we were washing our hands and wearing masks and staying away from each other. And the cold and the flu are different viruses or illnesses. And it's the same thing with Delta Plus and Mu and whatnot. If you want to stop those things from spreading, cover your mouth, wash your hands, keep your distance, don't go out if you feel sick, things like that. Otherwise it's not going anywhere.
Right. And that was actually really fascinating when you told me that the last time about how, we kind of eradicated some of these, you know, common colds and illnesses that you were seeing all the time, and the flu, and now how, you know, by that is also, you know, affecting our future as well. And so we don't necessarily continue some of these best practices, we got really clean over the last year, which is great. We need to not abandon that because now you said that we could potentially be seeing a really nasty flu season this fall, right?
That's right. Some experts are predicting, because we've taken the masks off so fast and have changed our cleaning habits to pre-COVID again, that one of the concerns is if we get more variants of coronavirus or Delta variant sticks around and we're not masking and washing our hands, and the flu is also going to come back. And that's just going to create, you know, an exponentially more challenging thing for the society as a whole to deal with.
Because
you know, they're both, people can die from both of them, and it's going to be hard to tell which is which, and it's going to overtax hospitals and doctors. It's going to be the same kind of thing we've been seeing for the last 18 months, just more complicated, because then we'll be dealing with more than just COVID. And what's also interesting about it, real quick, is that most people don't realize this because it's been normalized, but around, you know, anywhere from 20 to 40,000 people a year die from the flu. And it never seems to make the news because it's just the flu. But think that if we were wearing our masks and washing our hands for the last 18 months, how much the flu dipped, we could prevent a lot, not just
absolutely.
COVID, yeah.
Yeah. And then, like you said, it kind of brings up like a whole nother slew of, okay, well, now we're dealing with flu and COVID. So can you get the flu shot with the COVID shot? And when do I need my booster? And when I need my new flu shot? So it's really crazy. And it just kind of brings up all those different questions and things like that too. So we, you know, kind of talked about a little bit about information and how much is out there and how much is floating around. So how would you suggest that people kind of navigate that or maybe rethink some of that information that's being presented?
So what you were saying about the vaccine real quick. So there has been discussion about trying to get the the flu vaccine and the COVID vaccine in one shot.
You're kidding.
No, that's been discussed. I don't
know.
You know, one of the things people forget is that the research and the research on COVID and the creation of the vaccine was done in record time. You know, it took something like 2 decades to get, maybe even more, maybe 3 decades to get through polio. And so we still have a lot of research to do on this thing. So having that this season, a combined vaccination, I don't know if it'll happen or not, but that's been suggested. So as far as information goes, I like to tell people, you know, information is a great tool, but you have to make sure it's legit information. So I usually advise people, don't look just for information. You need to get intelligence. You know how when someone says, you know, like when you hear on the news, military intelligence records something, something in, you know, the southern province of the Saudi Arabia, it's intelligence they're talking about. So it's been confirmed. It's been vetted. It's information that you really want to make sure is accurate information. And that's the same thing our industry needs to do when they're looking at planning for safety and security, because if you just watch, for example, if you just watch local news, you're just getting a part of the story. It's not that the news is giving out erroneous information. It's just not giving out the whole story. And case in point, I remember, so I live here in Charleston, South Carolina, where we're in, you know, Hurricane Central sometimes. And my mom calls me all flustered. What's going on? What's going on? Are you safe? Are you okay? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, you know, the Weather Channel says you guys are underwater and everything's horrible and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, don't know what they're talking about. So I flip on the news or whatever. And where they were filming was an intersection. And if you had zoomed out, you would have seen that the intersection was pretty flooded. But the further you zoomed out, the less flooding it was. It was just that one spot.
Oh, and wow.
I think the news had picked it to make it look like it was more of a story than it was. So, yes, there was some flooding issues. It was in that one little part. It wasn't affecting the entire city. Power wasn't out. It wasn't that huge thing that it wasn't the dramatic thing they had made it out to be. So my mom's freaking out, and I'm like, you know, so she called me, and I was her intelligence. No, what you saw on TV is just half the story. So that's what I tell
a lot of people. It's not confirmed. Make sure,
it's not confirmed. Get the true story.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think that's so helpful because especially with, you know, in the event industry, it feels like things are changing all the time. And I think the biggest thing that we have a very interesting context around it as well, because not only does, you know, safety come into play, but also livelihoods come into play. And, you know, as an industry that was greatly impacted by that, I think people are really grabbing onto any information that's provided so they can kind of predict better what's going to happen next and how to make those decisions. So I think that's just a great distinction. There's going to be information, there's going to be more, and there will continue to just be this layer and layer and layer. So that's it's great to make that distinction of information versus intelligence. I love that.
And I tell people, you know, even with COVID, you know, you hear the news and the cases are going up and things are getting worse and all that may be part of the story. But if I'm holding my meeting in, you know, Main Street on Main Street USA in some town and they're in the news, I'm going to go to sources there and say, hey, we're supposed to be there next month. We're supposed to bring, you know, 200 people. What is the situation? Is it really as bad as the news says? I'm talking to the local health department. I'm talking to my venue there. I'm talking to maybe my convention bureau. I'm trying to get resources that I know and say, what is the real story? And if they come back and say, hey, what you're seeing on the news is real, then I know I've got to make an action plan. Do we go virtual? Do we pull out? Do we, you know, postpone the meeting? And if they say to us, it's not as bad, then I can say, okay, we can go and we'll have to wear masks or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I love that too, because I think a lot of the things that we're making decisions based on is feeling. So I love that you're introducing logic into a lot of this and like, okay, there's just a couple extra steps and we can make a logical decision. So exactly. I think people can get a lot of use from that advice as well.
Good.
I did want to ask too, I know we talked about a little bit about just like the future of safety. And before we kind of get into that, maybe back up of just like the history of safety. I know a lot of the times you've said that none of this is necessarily new. So if you could kind of speak to some of that, of what's been around for a long time and maybe why it feels new to us, but it's not necessarily new to the world.
It's interesting. And it varies from our different parts of the world. When you were bringing that up, it reminded me of one time in my early 20s. So about 25 years ago, I was in London for the first time. I was by myself. I was just hanging out there because I'd never been to Europe before. And went to London. And like on the second or third day of the trip, I was getting ready to leave the hotel and they stopped me. And then they're like, sorry, sir, there's been a bomb threat. We think a terrorist might have a bomb.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, right. And this would have been like in the late 90s, early 2000s. And boy, I tell you, London police had that city shut down so fast when that happened.
Wow.
And that was well before, you know, I was what, 4 or 5 years before 9/11.
Yeah.
And those officers just knew their reaction when it came to shutting down the city. So they stopped the buses. Somehow they got word to all the hotels, don't let people out. And they had sent out officers and made a network of officers around certain intersections where they thought this thing might be. Turned out to be nothing. It was just not a hoax. I think someone was trying to make a statement, but nothing happened. Everything was fine. And then all of a sudden life was back to normal. And for people in London, it seemed so normal, but I think it was because these officers knew exactly what to do. So things like that have been around for a long time. And then when you think of like physical safety and security, fire extinguishers, security cameras, security staff, elevator certificates, food compliance with local health codes, all those things have been around for a really long time. And hotels and venues have to comply by those same policies and regulations that, you know, the local restaurants in your city at home have to do. So there's already a lot of safety and security that's been kind of laid out for us that we take for granted in a way, because it's been there for such a long time. Even the mRNA vaccine that has been so controversial with the COVID vaccination, with the Moderna and the Pfizer one. I've read on certain medical sites that the mRNA research has been going on for 20 or 30 years already. So it's not necessarily new either. How it's being used is new. And the fact that they're able to do it so quickly is kind of new. But the history of it itself has been out there for a long time. So a lot of this stuff isn't really new or groundbreaking. It's just, it's part of the media cycle and what gets played the most and what makes things controversial. So it kind of almost ties back into that whole informational versus intelligence type of thing. Find out what's what, and you won't be as worried as you might have been.
Exactly. So yeah, just recapping. So it's not really going anywhere. Nothing, you know, it's all very, very cyclical.
Yeah.
Information versus intelligence is absolutely important. And it's also nothing really new. So it kind of seems like all these alarm bells that keep, you know, going off.
Yeah.
We're kind of thinking of it as like a sprint when really it is a marathon, but it's okay.
It
can be done sustainably. And we can, you know, kind of ease into just adopting some of these safer practices long term.
Well, what's also interesting about it, and this doesn't get a lot of coverage either because I don't think it's a very sexy topic, but over the last 18 months, whether you think you have been affected by it or not, there's been something emotional or mental going on in all of our heads.
Right.
The lockdowns, the masks, the isolations, the quarantines, and our brains kind of go through this whole process when it comes to crisis stages. And the first stage of any crisis or any emergency event is denial, and you stop. So it used to be our brains have these automatic things about survival, about fight or flight. Now we also have like freeze, because we as humans have evolved. And we have these three stages, and the first stage is denial. So you hear a big boom and you have to stop and think, did I hear a gunshot? No, that can't be a gunshot. That doesn't happen. And then after you kind of work through that denial stage, you have the deliberation stage, and then the decision stage and the deliberation stage. You decide, yes, it was a gunshot, and then you deliberate and say, I'm going to run. So, but it used to be we were like animals, and a zebra on the African plain doesn't freeze when he hears the lion roar, he smells the lion approach. His body just tells him to run. So he doesn't wait to see if it's something real or not. There's no denial stage in a zebra's mind because he knows that he's going to get eaten if he doesn't run. But for us now, as we have evolved, we have that second or millisecond of, are we really going through this pandemic? Are people really dying? And there are people out there who I think are still just like, nah, it can't be happening. So,
oh, I love bringing psychology into it because I think that really gives a little bit more explanation for why we do some of these things. Yeah, we've seen some very interesting human behavior over the past last year. So I think it's good to just, you know, bring that up. Our brains are, evolutionarily, you know, formed this way for a reason, to keep us safe, to keep us alive. Yep. So I think, it's really important to bring those things up. And I'm glad you did, because there's pretty, you know, logical explanations for some of these things and ways of thinking that we're experiencing.
And it actually happens quite a bit, you know, where we go through some stage where we have to go through this denial and the acceptance, whether it's something physical, something mental, something safety or security related. And it's just, we need a little bit more, not necessarily focus on that, but just awareness of it so that it will help us work through some of these issues, and it will help us decide how to move forward with certain things.
Yeah. And it's validating. I'm sure there's some people who are like, going through that denial phase that were like, why am I feeling this way? Like, what's going on? So it's good to know it's normal. It's built into your brain. Yeah. And then you can, you know, make logical decisions after that. I think that's great.
But it ties into safety and security because
absolutely,
when we do like active shooter training or whatnot, and we talk about how the brain responds, that could be one of the things. We just freeze and we'll try to decide what was that we heard, and is it really what I think it is? And then once you realize it is, then you know how to act.
Totally. And then, also our brains play such a big part. Have you seen anything like in the COVID front with like psychological safety? And even if someone is physically safe, that psychological safety component of not necessarily feeling safe.
So I'll say again, I'm not a scientist or a neuropsychologist or anything like that, but I learn stuff as my work brings me to it. So one of the things that I don't want to say that the whole country is suffering from some kind of post-traumatic stress because of COVID-19, but we all very well could be. The last 18 months have been very stressful and for some very traumatic. And so how that leads into event safety is, you've seen it. We see it right now. You see and it's funny how it's increased so much. I think in the last year or last 2 years, I saw a report where fines for misbehaving on airplanes has gone from, $1,400 a year to over $1 million a year. And it's just in the last, since we've been traveling again post COVID, all these people are so upset on planes. And, a flight attendant asks a lady to put her mask on and the flight attendant smacks her in the head. And I'm like, we didn't ever have this kind of stuff. Or if we did have this stuff before COVID, it was because someone might've been drinking too much. But now it's like, so, and then we see it in active shooters. And again, it was one of those things that just didn't make the news over COVID in 2020, but active shooter numbers in 2020 were higher than they were the previous year. And you could speculate or extrapolate that some of those people were probably having some kind of traumatic episode that made them less than stable. And so they lashed out because we've lost so much control over COVID. So, those are my connections that I could see sometimes. And, it can happen with your events. Someone could fly off the handle, or in your office. Sometimes I'll discuss workplace violence. And at our offices, people might be able to fly off the handle after something traumatic. I don't think we see a lot of it right now why we see it more on airplanes than in other places might be because right now our offices are still not fully staffed. And we're not on our meetings aren't being fully attended. The numbers for 2021 are still a lot less than they were for pre-COVID. So I think as far as gatherings and events, we're not at the same numbers where we'll see those kinds of outbursts, but it could be right around the corner.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you draw attention to that, because it seems like, yeah, with everything very COVID heavy, some of those other important aspects of safety sometimes do fall to the wayside.
That's right.
And there's so many crazy, like even we see this a lot with supply chains, like the ripple effect of COVID. Yeah. You know, it sounds like, yeah, it's getting into human behavior on airplanes and just things that you wouldn't normally think of. And you said there's also a direct correlation or what you think into the future will tie into economy. So sure. If you could kind of touch on that too, and what event planners might be facing in the future of, you know, as we continue down this road, sure. What they're going to be facing.
So I think there's going to be a lot of, so you had mentioned earlier how our industry is always changing. We're one of the industries that pivots. Like a lot of other industries don't know how to pivot, but we pivot. For some of us, it gets really tiring, but that's also what makes it so exciting. So as far as event safety goes, the trends, as we work our way through COVID, trends are going to turn to keeping our attendees safe from what we were just talking about, people, active shooters or irate attendees or some kind of outburst, which could be violence in our events. So that's going to be something we'll be looking at. I think that'll be coming more apparent, or we'll have more of those incidences being newsworthy, because it's going to start to increase, especially as our events return to pre-COVID sizes. So that's one thing. One of the things is that's going to affect that event safety is going to be climate change. You know, it's pretty much now that there's not many deniers out there, no matter what your politics are. And it's for, you know, you see it, right? And that's another thing you see,
just like we see people. Pretty obvious.
You know, as you see people getting more upset on the airplanes, we're going to start seeing more flooding, hurricanes, and those things are going to last longer and do more damage. So one of those, that's going to have to be part of your response to, you know, you plan your meeting. I mean, I thought Ida was really interesting because it did a lot of damage up in the Mid-Atlantic and New England. And that is kind of a new thing. 10 years ago, hurricanes wouldn't last that long. So now you're going to be planning your meeting in Boston in September, and now you have to worry about hurricanes. That's going to be something you need to put on your emergency response plan. So it's that kind of stuff. And then you got technology. You know, there's always going to be cybersecurity. And as soon as we come up with a great cyber firewall, someone's going to find out a way to get through it. Drone technology is going to start becoming something that's used for both the good guys and the bad guys. So there's that kind of stuff. And then there's like the economies or the financial aspect of as we we all have this strong yearning to get back to pre-COVID numbers when it comes to events. You know, we want the big crowds again. We want to travel again. And the suppliers want it really badly as well, because, you know, we were all so affected by it. And I don't, you know, I just kind of think that as we start to return or try to work our way through this or ignore whatever common sense we may end up ignoring, we're going to get to this place where it's going to become a seller's market, and meeting planners will be so desperate to get meeting space that they'll start making deals with and put things like event safety in the back seat, when it's one of those things where I think it should always remain up front. It's one of those things where you don't want to go to a location or pick a venue just because it's the best deal you can get. I think it's still important to look at things like safety and security, you know, climate where you're going and when you're going, things like that. And I think maybe as we start trying to build up the revenue we lost, there's going to be a lot of competition for that. And I don't want to see safety take a back seat to it, but that may be where we might be heading.
Yeah. And I like that you're kind of raising that alarm now, because I think it is going to kind of all of a sudden be this switch back into everything in person, everything, you know. Now we're seeing like even festivals all happening at the same time, because everything got pushed to fall. So there's going to be competing resources, and those things are going to fall a little bit off the back burner. And I love that you mentioned there's other safety concerns out there. It's not just limited to COVID, and it's not just going to go away with COVID. We've got cybersecurity, climate change. That is just a great example of that is, I believe it was Bonnaroo, the music festival in Tennessee, where they weren't able to meet last year. They were all excited to have their event this year. Mm-hmm. And I think like 3 days before it started, there was so much intense flooding. It wasn't even COVID that canceled it this year, but it was the flooding. Yeah. So the stages were sinking, and it's like, oh my God, if it's not one thing, it's the other. So it's really important to always just have a plan, have your backup plans, and think about those things.
And I think if you are trying, if we do get to that point where we're all competing for space or something like that, and we don't keep trends and future in the front of us, that we're going to have this huge step backwards, and all of a sudden we're going to have to deal with incidents and events that we shouldn't have had to deal with because we're trying to find that space that meets the budget or something like that.
Absolutely. Well, Alan, I probably could keep you here all day and pick your brain.
I'd be happy to.
I really do think this is going to be probably one of my favorite episodes because it really does cover such important topics and it's taught me so much and reframes a lot of the ways that I think event planners are thinking currently. So it's amazing. And there's so much good information in here. It covers the gamut. But if event planners tuning in or watching this later were to walk away with one piece of advice from you, what is your message that you would send out to them?
I'm going to give you two quick ones. One is intelligent versus information. You want to try to get hard, detailed, confirmed facts. And then the other one is, the safety is a large topic. It's a big umbrella. You've got, as we talked about, you've got physical safety and security. You got climate change. You got environmental, and by environmental I mean cultural and political. And are you going to a city where you could have protests? And you have cybersecurity and then PR security, public relations. You don't want something bad to happen and give your company a black eye. So there's all this stuff to talk about, and it gets overwhelming. And one of the things I would tell a planner is if it is overwhelming or you're doing your safety and security only haphazardly, you need to find help, even if it's, getting an extra staff person or spreading it out among several staff people or going as outsourcing it. If it becomes something that you can't do or you can't do the way you feel it needs to be done, then get help. That would be one of the things I would say.
Yeah, no, that's a great piece of advice. We say the same thing too. If it feels overwhelming, you probably need someone else on your team that can help with the heavy lifting. And finding your partners, and that is the beautiful thing I think about events is those partnerships and relationships are there. And we really do have this awesome community where people do want to come in and help and be able to lean on each other. So if any industry could do it, it is this one. So I'm very excited that you said that. But I think people are going to want to learn more from you and connect with you. So where can people do that? Where can we send people to find more information?
It's really easy. My email is alan@arrivemanagement.com. And my website is arrivemanagement.com.
Easy enough. Perfect.
And I think my Twitter is A. Kleinfeld and my LinkedIn is Alan Kleinfeld. But arrivemanagement.com has got all that stuff there too.
Amazing. Cool. Well, Alan, thank you so much again. So full of great information. If you ever think of another topic that you want to share, we'd love to have you back on because this was fantastic. Cool. And thank you for everyone who tuned in. We got a couple Facebook users that commented, said great insight, Alan. So thank you for those of you who tuned in. And for more episodes of Hashtag Event Icons, make sure that you subscribe at event-icons.com. And we will see you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Hashtag Event Icons. To catch all of the bonus content, resources mentioned, and an invite to our Facebook and LinkedIn groups, head to www.event-icons.com. Also, let us know what you thought about this week's episode, share your biggest takeaway, and just tag your social media posts with Hashtag Event Icons. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again soon, right here on Hashtag Event Icons.